So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be called Back to the Future.
Oh, okay, not sure about that title. I'll try to come up with something else.
Okay, I mean, I feel like that works, though.
Well, we'll see. So what happens in this thing?
Well, we're gonna meet this teenager, Marty McFly, and he's hanging out at his friend's house, this wacky old scientist guy, Dr. Emmett Brown.
Oh, and how did they become friends?
Somehow, I imagine.
Okay, I have no further questions.
Okay, thank God. So Doc Brown, he's real wacky. He says, "Great Scott," all the time.
Oh, Scott is tight.
Fantastic. So Marty's life is pretty crappy. Like, his dad gets bullied by this guy named Biff, his mom is an alcoholic, his brother has a crappy job, and his sister can't find a boyfriend.
Yikes.
And then one night, Doc brings Marty to a shopping mall parking lot because he built a time machine out of a DeLorean.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, so we're gonna have this really fun scene where they engage in some casual, you know, animal testing.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah, Doc puts his dog inside the DeLorean, sends him into the future, and you know what? He doesn't die.
Is Doc the bad guy?
Well, what would make you think he's the bad guy? So anyway, then the terrorists he's been dealing with show up.
You're sure he's not the bad guy?
Yeah, no. He ripped these guys off for some plutonium, so they murder him.
Oh, what is going on?
And so Marty escapes in the DeLorean and accidentally goes back to 1955.
That's in the past.
It certainly is, sir. And so he's gonna run into his dad, George McFly.
Oh, that's interesting. An encounter with his dad in the past.
Yeah. And so pretty much immediately he finds out that his dad's a peeping Tom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he saves his dad from getting hit by a car, but then he gets hit by a car.
Oh.
And so he's taken in by his mom Lorraine's family, and she is all over him when he wakes up. I mean, she really wants to sleep with him.
What are you talking about?
See, the whole thing is that Marty's parents met after George was hit by that car, but now since Marty was hit by the car, Lorraine just wants to hook up with him. She's on a path to end up with him.
Right, okay, I feel like that's pretty messed up for a movie.
Yeah, so the whole movie, Lorraine's trying really hard to get into her son's pants.
I do not like that sentence.
Well, she doesn't know that it's her future son.
I don't see how that's gonna be fun for anyone to watch.
I feel like everybody's gonna love it.
Well, if you say so. So what else happens?
Well, so Marty's gonna spend the movie trying to get his dad to hook up with his mom instead of him, because the future's getting all messed up now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he goes to see Doc in 1955, and Doc is like, uh-oh, Marty, that's, you know, this isn't good.
How can he tell?
Well, Marty has this photo with him from the future, and you can see his siblings starting to disappear from it bit by bit, because they were never born.
So that exact photo at that exact time, at that exact angle, was still taken despite the wildly different circumstances?
That's what we're going with.
Well, okay then.
So anyway, Marty hatches a plan to get Lorraine to go to the dance with George instead of him and get them to fall in love.
How does he plan on doing that?
Sorry, sir, can I just,
Just a minute, Larry. So what's the plan?
Well, he's gonna pretend to force himself on his own mother, and then his father's gonna come in and beat him off, and that's really gonna impress the mom, and then she's gonna wanna hook up with him instead of her own son.
Okay, I'm gonna go.
You sure? You can stick around.
No, I insist.
Not sure what that guy's problem was, so how does the plan play out?
Oh, well, it turns out that bully Biff shows up, and he actually tries to force himself on Lorraine.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's really going at it. He's really trying to take advantage of this girl.
And you're sure this is a family movie?
I'm telling you, I feel like it's gonna be a classic. So then George really does save the day by standing up to Biff and punching him out.
Wow.
Yeah, and then at that school dance, Marty's gonna play Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Great song.
And turns out Chuck Berry's cousin is there, so he calls Chuck and he's like, "Hey, you know that new sound you're looking for?"
So Chuck Berry steals the song Johnny Be Good from over a phone.
He does, yeah, fun little tidbit.
But if Marty hadn't performed it, Chuck Berry would have come up with it word for word just a couple years later.
Right, but now in this timeline, Chuck Berry's a plagiarist, so it's fun.
Right, okay, I guess that's a fun moment.
So anyway, now that Marty's ensured that his parents are gonna procreate, he has to go back to the future.
That's the name of the movie.
That last part of the sentence, yeah, not the whole sentence.
Okay, so yeah, I actually did just think of a title that might be a bit better.
Okay.
What if we call it Spaceman from Pluto?
Spaceman from Pluto?
Yeah. That is a real note that a Hollywood studio executive is giving. Let's call it Spaceman from Pluto instead of Back to the Future.
Oh, I feel like, you know, God no.
Well, we'll see.
Okay, to be discussed, I guess.
So what else happens?
Well, Doc and Marty need to use this famous lightning strike on a clock tower to power the time machine back to the 80s.
Okay.
And before they do, Marty gives Doc a letter informing him that he's gonna be shot in the future and he needs to protect himself.
Oh, smart.
But Doc is like, no, I cannot know any information about the future. The results could be disastrous. So he tears the letter up.
Oh, no.
But then Marty's like, oh, I have a time machine. I could just go warn him in the future.
Very clever.
So he gives himself 11 minutes.
Whoa, why would he give himself 11 minutes? Why not give himself a couple of hours or even days?
Well, he's gonna give himself 11 minutes because it's more exciting this way.
Fair enough. So is it gonna be tough for Doc to survive?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience. convenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it turns out Doc taped the note back together, so he puts on a bulletproof vest.
Oh, well, thank God he did a complete 180 on his passionate speech about knowing about the future.
Yeah, it really worked out. So then Marty goes to see his family, and they're just completely different now.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, his dad's a super successful author, his brother has a great job, his sister has a good dating life.
George is a rich author, and they still live in the same house?
They do.
The brother has a good office job, and he still lives at home?
He does.
Well, okay then.
Oh, and also now Biff gets hired by George to wax his car.
George hired the guy who tried to assault his wife?
He did. He's like, ah, that Biff is such a character. He's always trying to get away with something.
Like assaulting his wife.
Yeah, quite the character. And so now Marty gets to go on a date and he has a nice car.
Now wait, so his entire family have had a different life, but Marty still has the memories and experiences of the original timeline?
Yeah.
So what happens to the version of Marty that was living with the family on this new timeline that they were interacting with on a daily basis?
Yeah, don't worry about any of that.
Oh, okay, I won't.
Great, so what do you think?
Well, it sounds insane and inappropriate in several ways, but somehow I do think it'll be a classic.
Oh yeah, nobody's ever gonna dare to even think about remaking this thing.
So, you got some new Back to the Future for me?
Yes, sir, I do. This one's called Back to the Future Part 2.
Oh, and we just re-released the second half of the first movie?
That's pretty sneaky, but people did love it.
No, it's like a whole other movie.
That's probably even more marketable.
So we're gonna start this thing off right where the first movie ended.
Oh yeah, the doc shows up and says they have to go to the future to help Marty and Jennifer's kids.
Exactly. So they're in the DeLorean on their way to 2015, and the doc knocks Jennifer unconscious.
What? Why?
Well, because she was asking questions about the future.
Isn't that kind of a natural thing to do? Why not just knock her out in 1985 and leave her there?
Well, because we ended the first movie with her in the car and we didn't really know we'd be making a sequel, and now I don't want her there anymore.
Fair enough. So now it's time for some adventure.
So they dump her unconscious body in an alley.
Oh my god.
And so it turns out that in the future, Marty's son is gonna agree to do some crime with Biff's grandson, Griff.
Illegal.
And so Marty has to pretend to be his own son to decline the crime invitation.
They really have to travel to the future for that? Couldn't the doc just have said, hey Marty, keep your kid inside on this day in 2015, or, you know, be a better parent?
Hey, shut up. So then Marty pretends to be his own son.
Well, okay. Is it gonna be tough to fool Griff?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because as you know, when people have children, those children have the exact same faces as them.
I have experienced that, yes. Indistinguishable.
So Marty interacts with a little hobbit-looking kid and then refuses the crime invitation, but then Griff calls him a chicken.
Oh. So?
Oh, yeah, right. I should mention I added a defining character trait for Marty, where if someone calls him a chicken, he loses his mind.
Kinda random.
It's gonna drive most of the plot points moving forward.
Well, okay then.
So that's gonna lead to a big old wacky hoverboard chase.
What's a hoverboard?
A board that hovers.
Well, it does make sense that they would have those in 2015. I mean, if we don't have flying skateboards and cars by then, what the hell are we even doing?
So anyway, Griff and his goons are gonna crash into a courthouse, and that saves Marty Jr. from going to jail.
Okay, seems like he could still pretty easily be convinced to become a criminal, though.
Well, then I guess they'll travel to the future and impersonate him anytime he's about to do that.
What?
So then Marty has this idea where he wants to bring a sports almanac to the past to do some gambling and screw over the system, make a bunch of money.
Right, okay, I kind of see why his son turns out the way he does.
But the doc is like, no, you can't screw with time like that. That could have some crazy repercussions.
He just traveled 30 years into the future to take care of a problem that could have been solved with a book on parenting.
Still, though.
Oh, okay.
So Marty leaves the almanac behind, but frickin' old Biff overheard the plan and saw the time machine, so he goes through with that plan.
And he knows how to operate a time machine because...
Exactly.
What?
So he does that thing and brings the DeLorean back to 2015,
but then when Doc and Marty go back to 1985, it's like a completely different timeline.
But wait, how did Biff get back to the 2015 that they were in?
None of your business.
So turns out Biff used the almanac in 1958 to make a bunch of money, and now he's a big wealthy douchebag that turned the town into a frickin' dystopia.
Not good.
And he frickin' killed George McFly.
Oh my goodness, and what about Marty's mom?
Oh well, he married Marty's mom. So he's Marty's stepdad now?
Yikes. Well, hey, at least we won't have any weird stuff with Marty's mom flirting with her own son. People thought that was pretty strange that we put that in the first movie.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah, there's nothing weird like that in this one. Anyway, the first time that Marty sees his mom in this timeline, he's like, whoa, your boobs are so much bigger than I'm used to.
Oh, my, seriously?
Because she has implants in this timeline, so Marty's like, whoa, what the...
Where do those big things come from, Mommy?
Okay.
So he goes to confront Biff about the almanac, and Biff is like, yeah, an old version of me gave this to me in 1955, and he said that one day a kid might come ask me about it, and I'd have to kill that kid, so now I have to kill you.
Why tell him that at all if he's just gonna kill him?
Because.
That works.
So then Biff goes to shoot Marty, but Marty jumps off a roof.
Uh-oh.
But then he floats back up, standing on the DeLorean, all like, ha-ha, I did not die when I jumped off the roof, you fool.
Doesn't Biff still have a gun?
Yes.
And he doesn't shoot Marty.
No, because then our protagonist would be dead, so then Doc and Marty go back to the past.
Okay.
Yeah, they go to the day where old Biff gave himself the almanac, which, as it turns out, is the same day from the first movie.
Oh, that's from the first movie.
So they have to avoid themselves in the past, because that would create a crazy paradox.
Well, wait, if Biff only makes his money in 1958, can't they go to another time and not risk running into themselves?
Oh, they absolutely could, but then we wouldn't get to revisit scenes from the first movie in a fun way.
Right, we gotta have the nostalgia. So what happens?
Well, now Marty's gotta sneak around and get this freaking almanac back.
Yeah, sounds like he freaking better get that alma back then.
What?
Whatever you said is also what I said.
Okay, so anyway, then we're gonna rewatch all these awesome moments from the first movie, but from slightly different angles.
Very fun.
And eventually, there's gonna be this super exciting chase where Marty's on a hoverboard and Biff is in his car, and then right at the climax, Biff is about to run Marty over.
Oh boy, how is Marty gonna get out of that one?
Well, the doc's gonna save him with the flying DeLorean, and Biff is gonna crash into a manure truck.
Climaxing with some poop is tight.
Oh. What?
Wow, well, sounds like a great movie.
Oh, well, wait, it's not done.
Oh, it's not?
No, see, before the doc can land, the DeLorean gets struck by lightning, so that sends it into the past, into the Old West.
Doesn't it need to be traveling 88 miles per hour?
Nope.
Are you sure?
It's written right here, sir.
Oh, well, okay.
So then a Western Union guy shows up, and he's like, hey, we've been holding on to this letter from this doc for, like, 70 years.
Oh, fantastic customer service.
Yeah.
So what does Marty do?
Well, he goes to see the doc that's still in 1955, and then we're gonna play a full trailer for the next movie.
We what?
An entire trailer for the next movie. I figure we shoot two of these movies at once.
So we don't even end this movie the way that movies end. We're just like, hey, more stuff. Please stay tuned.
Yes.
We can do that?
Why end it when you could just be like, hey, we're stopping it here for now?
So, you have the new Back to the Future for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So you know how Marty went back to the past, then back to the future, then forward to the future, then back to the past, then back to the past?
I think so.
Well, now he's gotta go back to the past.
Well, cool. Cool.
Yeah, see, the doc got sent back to 1885, so Marty goes to see 1955 Doc for help.
Okay.
And they find out that Doc frickin' dies in 1885, shot in the back by Buford Tannen over a matter of $80.
How do they find that out?
Well, I mean, it's written on the tombstone.
Do they usually write on tombstones how the person died?
Yes, sir. That's how most murders are solved. The cops just check the tombstone to see what happened.
Is that how police work works?
So Marty and the doc get the DeLorean up to 88 miles per hour and send Marty back to the past.
But didn't Doc get sent back there without having gone 88 miles per hour?
Yeah, but now you gotta do it again for some reason.
Oh, okay.
So he heads back into the past, into the desert, and there are like a bunch of Native Americans, so he's like, ah, Indians!
Is that offensive?
I don't care. So he tries to hide from them, but then he gets attacked by a bear.
In the desert?
One of those desert bears.
Unexpected bears are tight.
So Marty runs away and winds up on his Irish ancestor's property.
Wow, what are the odds of that?
Four.
What?
So we're gonna have this fun thing where he interacts with them, and obviously they look just like him and his mom.
Wow. Well, it would have been nice to have one of these movies not make me think that the McFlys are kind of into inbreeding.
Well, this won't be it. So they help him out a bit, and the next day they head into town, and he sees the doc, who's just like living a new life.
Okay.
So he reveals to him that Buford Mad Dog Tannen's gonna shoot him on Monday, so they gotta do something to prevent that.
So he pays him the $80?
Nope.
So they leave town for a bit?
Nuh-uh.
Alright, well those two things definitely would have worked.
Yeah, but then the movie would be over, and I'd like for it to continue for a little while longer.
That's fair enough.
So they need to get the DeLorean up to 88 miles per hour, because that's a thing again.
Sure.
But one of those Native Americans shot the gas tank with an arrow, so that thing can't move.
Well, luckily there's another DeLorean in 1885. Didn't the doc just get there in one?
I have no way of knowing that.
Well.
But there's a complication now.
What's that?
The doc falls in love.
Ooh!
Ew.
With who?
This teacher, Clara, who's new in town.
What makes them fall in love?
They speak three times and have read the same book.
That'll do it.
But then Mad Dog gets mad at Marty, so he wants to kill him instead in a duel.
Uh-oh, gonna be tough to beat him in a duel. Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Marty has a secret.
Oh, right, it's that he's actually a great shot, right? Because of the arcades he plays?
Well, yeah, but no, that's not it.
Oh.
See, he wears a piece of metal on his chest, so when he gets shot, it doesn't hurt him.
What if Mad Dog had shot him anywhere other than the chest?
Well, he doesn't.
But why did he bet his life on that?
Because I never would have written that. I don't want that to happen to Marty.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So then Marty plays dead, but then jumps up and punches Mad Dog in the face a bunch.
So he gave up the advantage he had in a duel to try and beat up a guy much bigger than him in hand-to-hand combat?
Exactly, and it works perfectly.
Well, great!
Anyway, so now Doc and Marty have decided to steal a train and have it push the DeLorean down some unfinished tracks into a ravine.
Well, that seems unwise.
Well, no, because see, the tracks will be completed in the future, so it's gonna be okay. They'll just shoot out into some active railroad tracks?
That's the plan.
So they're doing that, but then Clara jumps onto the back of a train like a madwoman, so the Doc has to save her.
Why did she do that?
Well, she didn't believe that he was a time traveler, but then she did, so she decided to do some stunts about it.
Well, okay then.
So Doc saves her, and they veer off on a hoverboard, and Marty shoots into the future.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Wow.
But he shoots onto some train tracks, so he almost gets killed by a train.
Yeah, it seemed like that might happen.
So now the DeLorean is destroyed, which is what the Doc wanted.
Well, great.
So Marty goes to get Jennifer, who he had left unconscious on a porch swing.
Oh, right. In which timeline did he leave her on that thing?
There's no way for me to know that either. So they go check out the wreckage of the DeLorean on the train tracks.
Did nobody investigate that or clean it up at all?
Nope. And then the Doc shows up on a train version of a time machine, and he's got Clara with him and their two kids who point at their own crotches sometimes.
How did he know Marty would be there?
Unclear.
I thought you just said he wanted the time machine destroyed. Why'd he build another one?
So we can see him one last time before the credits roll.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And so that's about it. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like a classic trilogy. Maybe we can make more someday.
Never.
All right, well, maybe somebody else will take up the mantle of old scientist and teenager go on adventures.
Hi, this is Ryan George from The Thing You Just Watched. Please enjoy this slideshow from The Thing You Just Watched.